Amen. So, question, have you guys ever seen a pastor get up here and he starts his sermon with like a super obvious like yes question? Anybody ever seen that? Like, you know, like, is the sky blue? Yes. Not always. Well, hey. All right. So, whether you like that or not, you're about to get one of those questions right now. The question is, and by a show of hands, don't have to say yes, but by a show of hands, anybody ever have a hard time focusing? All right, that's about everybody. And if you didn't raise your hand, that's because you weren't focusing on what I just asked. So, by default, that's everybody in this room. Everybody at one time or another has had a hard time focusing. And this morning, through our 28 days of prayer, our focus today is focus. And I'll share a little story. I'll be honest with you, because then it's going to encourage you, hopefully, to be honest with yourselves, too. So I like to think that I've gotten a little bit better at focusing than when I was in college at Liberty. Sometimes I was just a whole mess when it came to focusing on the work that I was doing, the homework I had. I kind of, sort of, definitely developed a reputation for getting things done at the last minute. And I was good at it. I can't lie. I was pretty good at it. But my motto had become, if it's not the day it's due, it's not the day to do it. And I lived by that for 3.5 years that I was at Liberty University. And I never turned an assignment in late. It was just close every time. And that had become my motto. And so I'm actually still in school at Liberty online, if you don't know that. And if you did know that, you can just keep quiet about my level of focus that I currently have. But I have gotten a lot better. I can assure you that I am better than I was a few years ago when it comes to focusing. Because specifically back then, like if I ever tried to work ahead, like if I ever tried to do something, you know, a few days before it was due, it didn't work. I did not get anything done. Unless it was the day it was due, because it was crunch time and I had to get it done. And so, you know, I would open my laptop, I would sit at my desk, and then the distractions would start flowing in. You know, my roommate would come in, a game would be on the TV. I'm a big sports guy. If there's a game on, forget it. My phone would start ringing. Like, there's so many distractions that would keep me from doing what I was supposed to be doing. Like, if I had a roommate come in and say, hey, you want to go? And I'd be, like, out the door before he even told me where we were going. It didn't matter, like anything to get me away from this computer. It was bad. But the worst thing was my phone, for sure, that would keep me from writing a paper or whatever. And so it got so bad one day, I was like frustrated with myself. And I went over to my friend Cameron's dorm and I knocked on the door. I said, here's my phone. Don't give it back until I finish my paper. And it worked. It worked, because that distraction that I had that was stealing my attention, stealing my focus, was now gone. And I recognized, after a long time of not recognizing the issue that I had, an issue that I had was my phone. I recognized that I need to give that up in order to get done what I was trying to get done. You know, because there'd be a paper that I'd be working on that I could probably do in an hour, that would take me 3 hours because I'm doing nonsense, right? And so it kind of became a thing that Cameron and I did for a while. And again, it was productive in helping me focus and helping me finish the work that I was doing. And, you know, I just wanted to share that. Well, I know that now you're all thinking that, well, this guy who couldn't even finish a paper, if his phone was in the same room, is going to tell me about focusing. That's exactly right. So we're gonna go for it. And but again, I do like to think I've gotten a little bit better in this area, because focusing on what you're supposed to be focusing on, whatever it is, can be difficult. Focusing on what God's called you to do, who he's called you to be, how he's called you to live, that can be difficult too. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so what does that verse tell us? Well, whatever you value, whatever you care about, whatever you invest time into, money into, that's where your heart is. That's where your focus is. And so in order for your focus to truly be all about Jesus, it requires sacrifice. Right? It requires following Jesus requires sacrifice. If you want to follow him, then nothing can get in the way of that. Nothing. He calls us to be obedient to him above all else, and that everything else falls in comparison to being obedient to him in that way, right? There's a lot of things, as I just mentioned a few of them, that are distractions for me. There's a lot of things in this world that are competing for our time, that are competing for our attention, and competing, whether we recognize it or not, competing for that spot that Jesus rightfully deserves in our lives. And so I don't know what you come into this place with, but I do know there's a lot of things competing for your attention too, right? I'm not the only one. There's a lot of hands raised. There's a lot of things competing for your attention. And if we're honest with each other and you're honest with yourselves, a lot of the things that we focus on, that we spend time doing, they can actually hinder the relationship that we have with Jesus. Matthew 7:14, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it." The world is full of distractions. And anything that shifts our focus from Jesus is ultimately going to weigh us down in the race that God has called us to run, like it says in the book of Hebrews. And so today, again, we're continuing in 28 days of prayer, all about pursuing God. And you know, so far we've looked at some really, really great topics under this umbrella of pursuing God and as it connects to our prayer life. And I don't know about you, but like it hit me this week, like it's been a really, really great progression that we've gone through over the last few weeks as pastor has led us. You know, we started with this idea of Selah in Psalm 46 to take pause, to cease striving, to know that he is God. And then that led to kind of a difficult message talking about surrender. And what do we need to give up? What do we need to well, everything first off, but like what specific things am I holding on to too tightly that I'm not giving over to God? Right? What does it look like to deny myself, to take up my cross and follow after Jesus unconditionally? That was a hard message. And then last Sunday, after we pause, after we're still before God, after we're talking about identifying some things that we need to surrender and give over to him completely, we talked about Psalm 63 to develop this hunger and this thirst for God. Because if we're satisfied, I wrote a devotional this week, if we're satisfied with the status quo, if we're satisfied with just being content in where I'm at in my relationship with Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand that. We should find contentment in Jesus. But if I'm content with the level of faith that I'm at in him, and I'm just okay with the status quo, then I'm not going to hunger and thirst for God. If I'm okay with where I'm at spiritually, right, and Paul said it himself, right, I have not arrived. And if he hasn't arrived, you haven't arrived, and I haven't arrived. And so we need to cease striving, we need to surrender, and we need to hunger and thirst for more of God. We have to chase after it, and that requires focus. So if you have a Bible, you can open up to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, as we talk about this proper focus that we are called to have. And so before we get into the passage, as you're turning there, I'll just give you some context, a little picture of what's going on here. So Paul's writing this letter to the church of Colossae, and if you're here earlier this year, we actually did a whole sermon series through this book, and so you should be familiar with it if you have been here for a little bit. And our sermon series was titled that Jesus is an all-sufficient Savior. And that's because the church that he's writing to was having an issue with that. There was false teachers coming around and denying and questioning and standing against the deity of Christ. And so Paul took it as his job, his responsibility to defend the truth of who Jesus is. He points to the deity of Jesus. He says he is Lord over all. And the fact that believers are in Christ, we must focus, we must devote ourselves to him, which is really where Paul is going to go in chapter 3. He spends a lot of chapters 1 and 2 defending who Jesus is, that he is who he says he is. And now, what do we do with that information? How are we to live as a result of that? That's what we're going to look at this morning, focused on being the people that God has called us to be. So beginning in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And we'll stop right there. So Paul opens up this section with some pretty dramatic wording, right? Think about the weight of what he's saying, the significance of what he's getting at here. He says, you have been raised with Christ. So if you have been raised with Christ, if anything has been raised, that means it was once dead. Right? In order to be raised, you were dead. It's going from death and going into life. And so based on that, I think we can all agree that transforming from death into life means that there should be a significant transition in the life that you now live. Right? If you're going from something that was dead to something that has now been made alive in Christ, there should be a difference in the way this life looks versus the way the old life used to look. All right? And that's what he's going to talk about. You were spiritually dead. Now you're made spiritually alive. Right? If we're made spiritually alive, but the life that we live looks like the old life, there's not much difference, then that's not okay. There needs to be a difference in the way that we are living. He says, set your hearts on things above. And what that sounds like is to me, it's focus, right? That's why this passage is here for us during this theme of this week. Set your hearts on things above. That's intentionality. That sounds like prioritizing the things of God above everything else. And so that's our first point this morning, is that a proper focus begins with an eternal perspective. So through these first few verses, you know, again, he comes at it pretty hard. And he says, you know, that the church is not to get caught up in worldly desires, worldly aspirations, but we are to live with an eternal perspective, an eternal focus. It's a pretty simple concept that we can really grasp in here, but it's a little different when we leave this place to live that way and to train our hearts and our minds and our attitudes and our actions to be eternally focused and being devoted to the things of God and what he wants us to be devoted to. A couple years ago, we took our youth to a Christian summer camp down in Virginia, and the pastor who was the speaker for the week, his name was Pastor Jay, and we had a theme of focus for that week. That was our overarching theme during that time as well, and he kept saying something over and over and over until we got it through his messages, and it was this simple statement. He said, what you focus on expands, and what expands is what you focus on. Right, what you focus on expands, and what expands is what you're going to focus on. So in other words, that means the more attention, the more energy, the more thought that you give to something, the more that that's going to grow and become a larger part of your life. And so the question that, you know, he challenged us with, and we get to challenge each other with now, is like, what are you prioritizing in the day-to-day life that you live? Right? If Jesus is truly the number one focus, if he's the central figure in your life, then that means your interests, your attitudes, your ambitions, your entire outlook on life is going to be centered in Christ. Right? The point is that you now identify with him, and so we are tasked with prioritizing what's going to honor him. Right? We have to make sure that our devotion to him is going to take precedence over all of our other things, all other desires, all other wants, that we're solely focused on Jesus in our union with him. And that's the key to our focus. And so I feel that like what Paul wants the church to get and what he wants us to get today is that true believers, the ones that are all in, chasing after Christ with their whole being, they live with a different approach to the things of this world. Right? Maybe something bad happens and you have tremendous faith through it, that you trust in God through it, right? You're focused on him. You're not focused on the thing that happens. You're not focused on the negativity. You're focused on who Jesus is and what he says about it, right? So more specifically, people who are focused with an eternal perspective are living with a different approach from the former approach that they once had, setting your mind on things above, not living for the things of this world, not living for what this world can offer you or give you. Because true satisfaction, true hope, true peace, true joy is found in Jesus and Jesus alone. All right, so verse 3, it's all driven from this relationship that you now have with Christ. The core of the Christian faith is found in the fact that you have been made united with Christ. That is good news. And that's something that should drive us to live that way. In verse 4, we see another motivation that we set our hearts and minds on things above is found in the promise of Christ's glorious return one day that we get to wait for. We're united with Christ, and so the question is, how much is that driving you? The Christian life is all about representing Jesus. It's about being his ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, right? It says this. It says, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. That's one of my favorite verses. Ambassadors for Christ. Like, that's a big calling, a big responsibility, a big mission that if we're not focused on it, we're not living it out. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're spokespeople for Christ. We get to encourage others to see Christ. We get to encourage others with the gospel, with the truth of his word. All right, so that's our second point, is that proper focus leads to a life lived as an ambassador for Christ. If we're truly focused on his mission, if we're truly focused on his calling, then we're going to live as an ambassador for him. An ambassador for Christ isn't, you know, ambassador for Christ, sorry, is going to rid themselves of the desires of the flesh, the sinful practices that once characterized their former life, but now you're different. Now you're changed. Now you have a different mission, a different perspective. It's just like what we say, you know, during believers' baptism, right? Buried with him in his death and raised to walk in newness of life. We've been given new life and a new purpose, a new perspective. All right, and so we are tasked with living as if the old self is gone, because that's what God says about us now. Right, that we have been made alive to him, the old self is gone and done away with. Stop running back to it. And that's what we're about to go and challenge ourselves with now over these next few verses. Verse 5, that's where Paul continues. He says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abuse of speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And finally, verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen. So Paul's not messing around here, right? There's a big difference between the life that you used to live and the life that you are now called to live in Christ. And the life that you are now called to live in Christ should not revert back to the old life that you used to be characterized by, right? And so when we look at these verses through the lens of talking about focus, of talking about focusing our minds on the things above, the things of God, you know, this action that's supposed to take place in our lives when we come to faith in Jesus, it's not an option. It's not like, hey, if you get around to it, if you could just get rid of some of those things that you used to do. Like, no, it's a calling. It's a command to rid yourselves of the things that used to characterize your life before you came to faith in Jesus. And so the question here, as it relates to what Paul's getting at, is, am I putting my old self, my old way of living, am I putting that to death every day for the sake of living out who Christ has called me to be? Right? Because it's not, you know, Paul doesn't say that, well, do it on Sundays, live for me, live for Jesus, right? It's not like a season-by-season basis. It's every single day that you're called to live for him. And so the question is, am I doing that well? Am I focused on him and not on the things that used to characterize my old life? Am I deflecting those things? Am I preventing those things from entering back in to the world that I live in now, which is in Christ? Or are we focusing on those things? Are we still clinging to these things of our past life? Right? Paul tells us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12, but as Pastor has said a couple times, you know, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it can get up on the altar, but it can crawl right back off. And so are we surrendering ourselves? Are we giving ourselves fully over to God and remaining as a sacrificial piece unto God? You know, because if we can crawl right back off the altar, that means that we can offer ourselves over to God, but only until something better comes along, or until something else takes our focus, or a distraction comes, or we can deem ourselves or deem something else in this world as more valuable or important than a relationship with Jesus in that moment or in that season. And yet, so we allow that to take our eyes off of God and remove ourselves from being a sacrifice for him. But again, Paul says we need to put those things to death. Immorality, impurity, evil desire, greed, anger, malice, wrath, and slander, abuse of speech, all of it. Just get rid of it. Get rid of it all. And the only way that we can do that is through this new life that we have in Christ. And that's our third point. Proper focus leads to obedience to Christ. So if you're focused on God and you're focused on the things of God, it's going to drive you to obedience every time. But the counter argument to that is, and the sad reality is, and you and I both know people, or maybe we've been people, or maybe we currently are people who can have one foot in and one foot out a little bit. Like, yeah, you know, I want to focus on being obedient to Jesus, but like, there's this other thing I want to do too. You know, I want to focus on Jesus during this season, but it's really not, it's hard right now. You know, it's not the time to focus on Jesus. I've actually heard people say that, you know, in regard to church, in regard to their faith, in regard to Jesus, that like, this is really a difficult season for all that. What? Like, that's, what? Instead of that being the case, instead of like our focus being on the things of this world, it should be Jesus through all of those things. Instead of saying, I don't have time for Jesus, it should be, I don't have time for everything else because of Jesus. And yet, sometimes that's not where our focus is. Right? Paul didn't live that way. He called himself a bond servant of Christ. A bond servant of Christ is focused on being obedient to him in everything. And I love the way these few verses actually read in the Message. I'm not telling you to go home and read the Message, but I will say that, you know, for a commentary, really, it I don't know, I just like it. So Colossians 3, verse 8 through 10, just listen to what it says. I don't have it on the screen, but you can listen to how it describes this life that we are now called to live in Christ. It says, you know better now. Who knows better now? You know better now as a believer in Jesus. So make sure it's all gone for good. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk, don't lie to one another. You are done with that old life. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you've stripped off and put in the fire. Now you are dressed in a new wardrobe. Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it, and all the old fashions are now obsolete. It's dead and gone, this old life that you used to live in accordance with. And now we have a new life in Christ. Right? If that doesn't speak to the power of God, if that doesn't speak to the wonder of God, I mean, how cool is that? Like he says, hey, you as a Christian, in comparison to this old way of living, you now have a whole new wardrobe. And by the way, it's nothing that is man-made. This is by your Creator. This new life, these new garments that you're to put on, it's made just for you. Because he loved you enough to die for you. He loved you enough to come and save you from your sin. His label is on it. His label's on you as a believer in Jesus. Every other fashion, every other thing that characterized your former way of living is now done away with. The clothes that you used to wear don't even fit anymore. The person that you used to be before Jesus doesn't even fit anymore. Think about that. If you try and go back to that old way of living, it's going to look weird. It doesn't even fit with your new character, your new person, your new creation. You've been born again for a new purpose, a new plan. You go back to that, it literally doesn't fit. I love that concept. But the problem is, if these clothes don't fit us anymore, why are we still trying to put them on? Right? Why are we still trying to fit into something that doesn't work for us anymore? You know, why do we find ourselves trying to make the old life fit in with this new thing and try and find this balance between Jesus and, like, everything else? But no, it should be Jesus and everything else down here. You know, I know that there's been times in my life when I haven't exactly donned this new wardrobe excellently, or I've tried to fit into old clothes and, you know, things that used to characterize my old life before Jesus. And, you know, there's been times in my life where I've had a misunderstanding of God's grace and God's mercy and just viewed that as license to sin and do whatever I want to do because God's got me. But, like, God doesn't call me to just come to him for salvation. He calls to me to live out my salvation. He calls me to walk in his grace and mercy and love for me, but to do that through an attitude of obedience and a posture of desiring to please him. And so I think a huge part of understanding why we need to live the Christian life is found in verse 10. I love what it says. We've put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So the new self isn't stagnant. It's a continual renewal in Christ as you look to become more and more like Jesus. And that's what the Christian life is all about. Not going backwards, not being stagnant where you're at, but continually being renewed in Christ. And then in verse 11, he speaks to the fact that there's no distinctions. There's no differences. Your loyalty to him takes precedence over everything else in this world. All other ties, all other preferences, associations that you have, whatever it is, they all fall short. And, you know, I don't know about you, but that's a message for us today, just as it was for the original audience. Right? There's a world full of things. I opened up the message with that. There's a world full of things competing for our attention, competing for our time. Our focus has to be Jesus. And like I said, I've heard people, Christians, say, you know, it's not the season for that right now. There's a lot going on. Church is hard. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do the Jesus thing. But that's only happening because we're prioritizing everything else above Jesus. If we get our calendar in order and we plan our lives accordingly, it's going to be Jesus first and then everything else. Right? We can defend ourselves and try to justify our actions all day long, but if we're too busy for Jesus, we're the problem. It's not him. We are. And so instead of being too busy to fit Jesus in, maybe we should be too busy with Jesus for everything else. All right, and so that leads us to our final point, is that proper focus continues with an eternal perspective. And so I know you're like, well, didn't you say it starts with an eternal perspective? Sure did. It continues with that. Start to finish, beginning to end, all with eternity in mind. Our focus is only going to remain on what it needs to be if we're focused on eternity. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says this, I don't have it on the screen, it's too long, but Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6, he says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." There is nothing but unity in the body of Christ. And so we need to, as a church, set aside our differences for the sake of the gospel, being focused on that message being proclaimed. And so the question is, would you allow in your life and in this church for his kingdom to be built up, and that God alone would be glorified? You know, an eternal perspective means viewing everything through the lens of the promise of an eternity spent with your Savior. Right? If you're so focused on the fact that this is not our home, that heaven is our home, that's where we get to go, that's the promise that we get to cling to, then the things that happen on this earth aren't so bad because we have an eternal perspective in mind. And again, I love the direction of our 28 days of prayer. I love this calling that we have as a body to focus, to live out our mission, to exalt Christ and to point others to Him. And so may our focus, even in our prayer life, on for ourselves and on behalf of our church, that we would rid ourselves of distractions, rid ourselves of things that are not of God, so that we collectively may do everything that we can to put Him first in everything that we do. We're actually going to sing a song after our corporate prayer time in just a few minutes called Build Your Kingdom. You might have heard it before, but I, you know, we haven't done it here at Grace, but I just wanted to read some of the lyrics for us together today because it fits with what we're talking about, a focus and being on mission to live out our mission here, exalting Christ and pointing others to Him. And so in it, some of the lyrics read, don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to leave that to Jim. It says, we seek your kingdom first. We hunger, talked about that last week, we hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives, for you are our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church, and we pray that you would revive this earth. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. That's what we desire to be about as a church. It's not about us. It's not even about Grace Gospel Church. It's about God's kingdom being built. And we don't want to get in the way of Him doing that individually or as a body. And so we need to remain focused on doing what He's called us to do, being the people that He's called us to be. And so our challenge is that we would be focused on being a people that are obedient ambassadors for Christ, that are solely focused with an eternal perspective in mind. So I'm going to pray for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you together today, for you are good and you are God, and we just love you. We thank you for our 28 days of prayer here at Grace Gospel Church. We thank you for this time that we get to spend solely focused on pursuing you. And Father, admittedly, there are plenty of distractions in this world, plenty of things that if we're honest, take your rightful place at times in our lives. There are things that we can get so fixated on that we forget the one who lives within us. We forget the one who goes before us. We forget the one who stands behind us. We forget the one who already knows how things are going to unfold. And we forget to go to you. And for that, we repent. And so, Father, it's our prayer this morning that as individuals, we would develop a proper focus, that we would first just have a kingdom mindset, have an eternal perspective, that would drive us to be ambassadors for you in this world as we live out our faith in obedience to you. Help us to do that individually, and help us as a church to be focused on the mission that you have given us. Help us to live with purpose and intentionality. And God, just help us to focus on you. Help us to focus on your gospel, your truth, your message going forth, so that we might proclaim that boldly and that others would come to salvation, come to see you as Lord of their lives. Father, again, we thank you for this time, and it's our prayer this morning that as we reflect or even do some business or do some inventory in our lives, that we would be honest with you. We'd identify some things that are in our lives that are, well, taking a place that they shouldn't be in. Help us to focus on you and help us to be diligent about doing something about those things that we see in our lives that we need to fix. Help us to come to you with it. And God, may you work in and through our individual situations to bring restoration, to bring peace and healing and hope as we journey onward in this world as a follower of you, as an ambassador for you. And it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, all. We're going to have a corporate time prayer now, and we have a couple of mics in the back that are going to be out there. And if you want to pray, please just raise your hand. Even when one person is praying, if you want to raise your hand, we can get the second mic to you. So when the first person finishes, we get you right on. We want to try and get as many people an opportunity to pray out loud. Prayer is important. How do you build a relationship with anyone if you don't talk to them? You know, you have friends, you have spouses, you have siblings. How do you build relationships with them if you do not talk to them? God wants a relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. And that starts with you praying or talking to him. So this is vital in our relationship and our growth with Christ and what the kingdom is calling us to be. So I encourage you all to just think about this. Now, we have the list on the screen. We're praying for clearer focus, mission-driven in everything that we do, deeper relationship with God in every area of influence by Christ, deeper relationships with others, real intimacy among the church, wider influence to be used to multiply his kingdom, and to pray for the one. There's a person in your life that you want to lift up that needs God, that needs his help, but they're not looking. And the more we pray for him, the more likely that God's going to put someone in place, because so many times we can't witness. You know, there are people, before I was a Christian, I wasn't a Christian. So there are people that I met when I was younger that probably would not listen to me today. But God will put other people in place to break down that barrier to bring them across. All right, so this is our focus for today. We want to look at the focus on ourselves, on where we are with Christ and what we're doing in our walk. And we want to look at the focus of the church and ourselves in mission. You know, we look at the church, our members, as the body of Christ. And you say, well, I'm going to be the heart. I'm just going to work as the heart. And I'm going to be the heart of the church, and that's it. Well, the heart can pump blood around, but if the blood's not being treated by the other organs of the body, it's useless, right? The heart only works in conjunction with the rest of the organs to keep the body healthy and moving in that direction. So what we want to do is be mission-focused so that God is calling you to be a part of something. I don't know what that is, and I promise you, for every person in this room, it's different. But God is calling you to be a part. Are you stepping up to the plate? Are you going to be a part of that focus? Are you going to be a part of that mission for his purposes? All right. I'm going to start by just reading really quickly what Pastor had started with from Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not the things on earth. That opens it up. So I encourage you, just if you want to pray, please raise your hand, and I will close us in prayer at the end.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groanings and his precious blood atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood all the lovely air I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing and his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. I heard about his love forever, and I love them always. And somehow I gave his life for me. I heard about a mansion that was built for me in glory. And I heard about the street to go beyond the crystal sea, and about the angels singing the old redemption story. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. Oh, lovely air I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory above the cleansing spirit.
I had a conversation with Pat this morning, and so many times we think that we have to, like, know the Bible inside and out, and I certainly don't. And sometimes we think we have to know Scripture inside and out. And sometimes it's just about showing kindness and being the face of Jesus to others that says more than anything. You know, we talk about just showing kindness in our own neighborhoods. It's funny, you know, like every week I'll take, like, the garbage pails up for all my neighbors. I'll take their mail up. I'll take their packages up for them when they're not around. And it's funny, like, they'll always make comments that there are so many men in the neighborhood that don't do anything for them. And they'll make, again, comments, you know, oh, my gosh, you're so different than so many people. What makes you different? And it just opens up for conversation. Well, this is what makes me different. You know, I serve someone bigger than me. And sometimes that's all it is just showing the love of Jesus to people that don't know him. And that means more than, I mean, it's great to know the Bible. It's great to know all these scriptures. But sometimes living it shows people Jesus.
Lord, so often we're focused only on ourselves and the things of this world. As Pastor talked about this morning, help us to focus on you first and foremost, because everything else will fall into place, regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what we might be going through at a moment or a season in our lives. If we stay focused on you, Lord, we know you will walk through those fires with us, and that remaining focused on you will get us and see us through these times. So we just ask this in your precious name, Lord. Amen.
Father, we come this morning before you. Thank you, God, for all you do for us. God, we ask you, let us focus on you and on yourself. God, we pray you for our missionary, God. We pray you for people on this world. God, you know the world. Somebody don't know you. Only you can Bring us to you, God. We pray you for our children on this world. God, we pray you for our people on the church. God, we pray you for us to focus on you. Now, God, let us give you all. Let us focus on you, God. Let us surrender all to you, God. God, this morning, let us glorify your name everywhere we are, God. Let us stay with you. Let us glorify your name, God. And this morning, God, we come to you to give you us, to give you everything, God. And at the end of the day, your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.
One of the hallmarks of God's character that should draw us immediately to brokenness is his unfailed willingness to forgive. God always has his hands to open to forgive us, even if we don't focus every day in there in him. Every time, every season, we have a lot in place, but we have to put him first. The lodging of his heart is for us to respond humbly to his correction so that he can restore us. God will stay away as long as our hearts remain indifferent, cold, and hardened. Sincere repentance opens the arms and heart of God. He always be there. We have to remember that. He's lovingly to correct out us. He will also comfort our anxious and ashamed hearts for loved ones who are loving in rebellion. He can lovingly correct their way, the waywardness of restore them. God is great. God is good. And we always have to be focusing him and prioritize our things that we have to do every single day and put him first. I pray for all of us that normally for the rushing time here, especially in this place where God put us, to focus in him and try to put him first and always. And everything is going to go work out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, I pray as we walk out of this place that one of the things we recognize is that there's a thing that we as believers and that the world as non-believers share that Jesus gave them, that Jesus gave us, is a freedom of choice. A freedom of choice to look to what he did and to act on it. And to not press that in onto someone who may not want to hear it. Father, I pray that as we go out of this building and we see how the world is and how the world is against you, that our first instinct is not anger at the world, because God, you so love the world that you sent the Son to die. You sent Jesus, your Son, to die. And in Jesus, we hold all our faith and all our love. And if we were to show that love to the world, despite what they want to believe, we have to show respect in the world's choice, because Jesus gave them that choice, the same as you and me. Father, I thank you that Jesus did come and die, and that the world, through us, and through the Father, through us, would be able to see him, see the Son, one day, whether it be on this earth or in heaven. I pray in the Son's name.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these dear, precious sisters and brothers in Christ here at Grace Gospel Church and the sweet, dear fellowship we get to share. Heavenly Father, let us be a light in the community, drawing others to you. And I know we all have lost loved ones that we're praying for and want to see come to you and be born again. Heavenly Father, help us to be good witnesses, to take them in hand and lead them to you. Help us, you know, to show them the way that they would realize their lost condition and ask you, Jesus, to forgive them of their sins and to come into their heart and be their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that America will once again be one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. And I pray for revival. Oh, Lord, I long to see revival just as in this country, just as it once was when Jonah preached to the city of Nineveh and they all repented in sackcloth and ashes and you spared their city. I pray that kind of revival in America. And thank you for Grace Gospel and all that it is. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Father God, we thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be at your feet. Every time you give us this chance, so you feed us with different food. As you said that the man does not really nourish by only bread, but by every word that comes from God. Thank you because you opened these 28 days of prayers, that series that come, which is pursuing you. You already fed us with that first part that says that we have to stop and reflect on your word and know that you are God. Sometimes we forget, we think we have control of everything. We try to anticipate. Thank you because you just remind us that we have to stop and pause and reflect. Then you continue to tell us we cannot enter that kingdom the way we are, the way we think we are, with our pride, with our selfishness, with ourself. We try to see ourselves in our own eyes. We don't even think. That's why you tell us, God, we have to surrender. We hold too many things in our heart, in our hand. We get anger. We get selfishness. We have bitterness in our heart. We don't see people the way you ask us to see. Thinking about this, that's a great, I say thank you because you, there's a book that one author say like wrote that says that God loves us the way we are, but he doesn't want to accept us like that. He just wants us to be just like Jesus. Father God, we ask you please to help us to surrender, to let go, so we can be transformed. We can see the transformation so we can finally be the exact way that you want us to be. Father God, you ask us again to have the thirst and to be hungry for you. Father, we realize that we make time, we make ourselves available to do whatever we want to do for ourselves. But when it comes for things for your salvation, when it comes for things for growing up your kingdom, we always lazy. We always got something that comes along the way that stops us from doing it. Father God, we realize that we are not hungry enough for your word. We are not hungry enough for your kingdom to move ahead. We're not hungry enough. We just take whatever comes up, but we don't do enough sacrifice for that. We ask you please to put that in us, like you teach us in that last series. And this morning again, you put something else in our plate where we have to focus. Father God, so many of us are really distracted. We get distracted. We don't even know where we are. And Satan really take advantage of that. We put a lot of stuff along our way to block our view so we can get distracted and do not even know where we are so that we don't see you. Father, we ask you this morning so we can put away the same illustration that Pastor took, that he put himself on a way. He give it. He handled it like to his friends so he can be focused. We ask you, God, to put to open our eyes this morning. Every single one has a way, a means of distraction that stops us being your servant, that stops us being the way you want us to be, that stops us being who you want us to be. Please, Father God, could you please point that this morning so we can have the courage to set it aside, to give it away, to drop it, because you said Jesus, it doesn't really serve to know nothing if we, if we walk in heaven with two eyes, and then if we stay with two eyes and then go to hell, it's better for us to be like to enter the kingdom like blind, because there is nothing that could be better than seeing you. That's why we ask you this morning, please. Whatever stand in our way, whatever is on our path, whatever distraction, please help us so we can let that go and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray.
A friend shared with me this week Proverbs 27:19, which says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And Lord, as I have thought on that verse this week, it has made me just pray for all of us at Grace Gospel Church, for myself and for all of us, that our lives would reflect you, that we might reflect out to this world our mission of exalting you and pointing others towards you, and that you would use each one of us this week as we go out to do exactly that, to shine your light to the world, to build relationships that will point others towards you, to move others one step further in their journey towards you and closer to you, further up and further in, that you would just allow Grace Gospel Church to be a movement that makes a change in this world, that makes a change in our communities. Use us, Lord, I just pray, use us.
Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for all that you do with us and for us, Lord. Father, we, as Pastor had mentioned during the service, the world is competing for our time. And too many times we let the world win. We let the world in, and it starts taking our time and our passions and our focus away from you. Father, so many times we are given little problems, and we look past the solution, past you, and just tackle the problem because out of ignorance or pride, whatever, we think that, oh, God, I got this. I don't need you now. And that's never, ever the case, especially in my life. And too many times little problems turn into big problems, and I have to walk backwards to say, all right, Lord, you have this. Father God, help us to stay more focused on you and your purpose in our lives. If we look at you from the beginning, you're with us through the whole thing, and we don't have to worry about the end because we're on your team. We're on the winning team. Father God, just help us to be the witnesses that you're calling us to be. Help us to be the people that you're calling us to be. Father, help us with this church to be mission-focused, that everything that this church, everything that we do, everything this church does is in line with what you want us to do. And if we're doing something in our own power that's not of your desire, Father, I want you to make it fail. Father, help us to be focused completely, solely sold out for you, that everything we do is with you in mind. I close with Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Father, we just lift this day, this week, we lift this life up to you, Lord. Help us to remain focused, as not just while we're here, but even through our week. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.